The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
Welcome back. The second hour is live. We'll talk to Darius Rucker a little bit later on. More of your phone calls at 855-2427-285. Daryl is up next in Georgia.
Darius Rucker, he was the lead singer for Hootie the Blowfish, right?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, pretty good. Hey, by the way, before I ask you what I want to talk to you about, I swear this was great, okay? I wish you could have this every week, as a matter of fact. The guy you had on last week, the caddy.
Oh, you're absolutely right.
Epic, man. Love the stories. I wish the guy would come back on here. Wasn't that great?
The guy's name was Mike. He was in South Carolina, and he was fantastic.
Absolutely was. I love the stories. I'd love to hear some more stories that he had. It sounded like he was talking about it. Maybe he didn't want to give away too much. He was thinking about writing a book about it. But, I mean, from what I heard, it was epic. Hey, Kirby Smart is one of two other coaches that I can – one of three that I can think of, with Steve Spurrier being the other, Phil Fulmer being the other, that's won a national championship in college football at their alma mater. Is there any more you can think of?
Yeah, I know until Kirby that Fulmer was the last one to do it. And I'm trying to think if you go back – yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you go deeper I don't know if Bryant – I think Bryant may have, but I'm not sure.
I'm just curious how long that list was. I mean,
I don't know, but you're absolutely right. The two most recent before Kirby was Spurrier and Fulmer.
Also, I wanted to ask you. I want to get your opinion on this. Okay, Stetson Bennett. First, Stetson Bennett say he want to play football next year. He didn't know. He didn't know where it was going to be. Here's my take on that. Okay, Stetson Bennett coming back will just do nothing for him. It's going to tarnish the legacy that he's left behind. He's not going to be able to improve, okay? If he thinks he's good enough to go to NFL, which I don't think he is, then he should go on now. But, I mean, Georgia's got 2 5-star gunslingers. We've got one coming aboard with Gunnar Stockton. We got the other one with Brock Vandegrift. And we've got to get them guys on the field. Stetson was good for Georgia. Georgia was good for Stetson. It's a great story. But in my opinion, as much as I was in Stetson's corner the entire way, I would just rather him just move on to somewhere else.
Darryl, I agree with you. If he's calling me, I would say, Stetson, you're done. Hire an agent. Cash in. Your value is at an all-time high. Don't blow it by getting beaten out for the job or getting in the middle of a controversy. Completely agree. Shannon is up next in Georgia.
Yeah, just to follow up on that, Paul, there was an article where they interviewed Stetson Bennett's father about whether Stetson would return. And he talked about how much Stetson loved college football and loved playing for Georgia, but he wasn't sure if he'd be back because of all of the undue stress that this season put on not only Stetson, but Stetson's family. I mean, can you imagine being that kid's parents and hearing all the negative talk from the Georgia fan base?
I agree with you on that. And you can't change a perfect picture, and you're only going to diminish it. And it's easy for me to say, it's not my career, but I think the smart thing for him to do is to leave.
Well, if it was me, I'd ride off into the sunset. Hey, I wanted to follow up on that guy that talked about Kirby Smart and how close he was to going to South Carolina.
Right.
So there's a little radio station in Athens, 960 The Ref, and a little talk sports radio station. And back in November, Mary Beth Smart appeared on that station and did an interview. As a matter of fact, a guy named Justin Rudolph, who writes for On Three Sports, which I don't want to give them a plug, but
right. He
actually wrote an article in which he quoted part of the interview in which Mary Beth Smart said that Ray Tanner and members of the athletic administration from South Carolina were actually at the Smart residence sitting at the kitchen table with Kirby the morning that Mark Richt was fired. Had you ever heard that?
No. I mean, there's no doubt that Kirby's being wooed by South Carolina cost Mark Richt his job, but I never heard that story before.
Well, the article's out there if you want to look it up or have the guy or talk to him or whatever. But he, you know, the headline is Kirby Smart's wife details how Georgia head coach
loses
another
SEC
job. Yeah, can you imagine the outcry and uproar from Georgia faithful had they let Kirby Smart get away and get hired by the Gamecocks?
Yeah, but you know something? I saw an article quoting a couple. It was actually somebody, a prominent national columnist, who was on this program essentially blasting Georgia for the hiring of Kirby Smart, saying that it was unimaginative.
Yeah, and non-competitive.
Right.
Yeah, those are the same. You know, Paul, one thing I've learned recently about sports journalists, I think there are some sports journalists out there that cover sports that absolutely despise the sports they cover. And I think that one's one of them. You know, there was a sports journalist that came out and was very critical of the Duke's mayonnaise bowl and the condiment dump
Beamer. Shane Beamer came after that guy.
Yes, he did. And go Coach Beamer. I mean, I earned a lot of respect for Coach Beamer doing that.
Yeah, that was Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports that Beamer slammed.
Beamer also said, I also remember how you said we wouldn't win more than two games, so keep up your expert analysis. But, yeah, we could have easily seen Kirby Smart in Williams-Brice Stadium leading the Gamecocks, and that's a depressing thought.
Yeah, but I did an article many years ago about the list of people who blasted Alabama for hiring Nick Saban. It was Colin Cowherd and Dan Lebatard. And it was an endless list, and it was savage. And they all said, like some of them did about Kirby, that he'd never last. He wouldn't be there. He was this. He was that. It was extraordinary to go back and read that. But the Kirby Smart, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that is really something that I knew about, but I never really did any due diligence on, and I will.
One of the things that bothers me, Paul, about some guys in sports journalism too, we talk about these narratives that exist in college sports and in all sports. Where do these narratives come from? Sometimes guys like Colin Cowherd and Dennis Dodd, they start the narrative. They're at the root of the narrative. And then once the narrative is shown to be false, none of the repercussion falls back on them for starting that whole line of thought. You follow what I'm saying?
I do. And I don't want to act like I'm not part of this conversation, Shannon. I mean, I've been in those situations where you start something. I got in the middle of something years ago with Jim Harbaugh, and it never ended. And some of it was almost just pure theater. But that's how it goes.
Well, just think of all the narratives that died national championship game night with Kirby Smart.
Oh, no. You know, and I both know what it was going to be. I was talking to somebody about that morning.
Yeah.
It was the quarter, especially if Stetson Bennett had bombed out.
Yeah, you know, Colin Cowherd had a big thing where he talked about that there was no proof that Georgia could even compete with Alabama, that there was no proof Kirby Smart could compete with Nick Saban, the thought that Nick Saban was in Kirby Smart's head, and all these narratives, and then the game's over, and like the national media that went from, you know, ridiculing Stetson Bennett, now they praise him for what a great story it was. You know, it's the same kid, it's the same coach, it's just the narrative changes.
No, and Shannon, I'm not defending the industry, because there are a lot of hacks in this industry, I'm telling you. And
absolutely.
You know, people that have agendas, that are dishonest, that lie to the audience, that mislead the audience. And, you know, again, it's ultimately up to the audience to determine, you know, what they want to watch or listen to or not. And that's all there is to it.
Well, how could Dennis Dodd be critical of that Duke's mayonnaise dump? Of all the bowl games other than the playoff games, I think that game stands out the most from this bowl season. And on top of that, Beamer was able to get 10 grand donated to the charity of his choice for taking that mayonnaise bath.
Yeah,
you look at all those kids that saw that. That's a great recruiting.
No, it was. We had, I don't know if you heard, though, we had Mike Boykin on last week or the week, one week. He's the CEO of the PR agency and marketing agency that runs that bowl, and they represent Dukes, and it was a bonanza. I mean, that was the only story. I mean, other than South Carolina winning, that literally was the story of the of that week. Hey, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. We are heading to a break. We have a lot to do on the program. Darius Rucker coming up here in a few minutes. We're back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Welcome back here. Darius Rucker coming up here in about 20 minutes. Scott is up next in Alabama. Hello, Scott.
Hey, hey, Paul. Longtime fan. Love your show.
Thank you.
And hey, I was looking at the screen right now, and IMAN was on there, and I didn't listen to him because I wanted to have the volume down. So, but here's what I'm asking you, Paul. Like Nick's been pretty clear over the years that he don't get into religion or politics.
Right.
But he came out this within the last, 24, 48 hours?
Yesterday.
Yesterday, and he's said what he did. And honestly, I wish he had just not gone there. And I wanted to know what you think about
that.
Well,
let me ask you a question before I answer. For those who don't know what we're talking about, we talked about it a few times. Nick Saban signed a letter to Joe Manchin. It's about this bill in front of, I believe it's the Senate right now, voting rights. And I know how many feel on both sides. That's great. I don't know why he did it. It is unusual. What I found most unusual is that it was sent to someone that he could call easily if he felt strongly about it and let him know, considering they are very close friends. I don't know why he went public, but I doubt he – I have a hard time believing he did this without the knowledge of Joe Manchin. It's hard for me to believe that. I've talked to Saban about Joe Manchin as recently as November. We were joking when I was in Tuscaloosa about, I said, your old buddy's become more famous than you have. And he laughed because Joe Manchin is the most talked about senator in Congress right now because of his break on several important pieces of legislation with Joe Biden, who they're both Democrats, although many in the Democratic Party are not very happy with Manchin or the senator from Arizona. But I don't know. I don't know if we're ever going to know why he
And your question, you said you were going to ask me a question. What's the question?
Well, I'm glad you reminded me of my question before I went political on you and pontificated. Why does it bother you that he did it?
Well, it bothers me because I think we have one of the best programs in college football, and we got a person leading the program, a coach that is non-political, and he deviated from what he said he was going to do. So,
would you feel the same way if he did something that you agree with?
That's a good question. I just think he should have stayed neutral. I just think he should have stayed neutral. And hey, here's what I'm going to do, Paul. As a fan of the show, I want to hear and watch what other. Am I the only one that's? I just wish Nick would have stayed neutral.
Yeah. No. Hey, by the way, I'm interested too. And Scott, you're not the only one. We've had a few calls, and I'm sure we'll have some more once we get to that point. I don't know. I cannot answer for Nick Saban. Let me try Cat Daddy. Cat Daddy, can you answer for anyone? Can you answer why Nick Saban dipped his toe into the political arena?
Well, I noticed all the people that signed that letter can afford the high price of gas and the high price of food we got nowadays, and everything else is going up.
You're probably right.
But I kind of wish, and the way we wouldn't even be dealing with this politics stuff, but I just don't think it's he can do what he wants to do, but I don't think it's right. Here's what I want to say to you, though. I'm going to get off of this because I'm sure people stick to politics, but I got to believe that Clemson, Georgia Tech, and North Carolina are soon going to join the SEC Conference, and it'll be changed the name to the Southern Football Conference.
Well, let me assure you, Cat Daddy, there are two schools. I don't think the SEC really wants Georgia Tech to be a member, frankly. They were once a member, and they got out. Clemson, I would say if you had to rank the ACC schools, I would say Clemson would be the most Clemson and Florida State, and then probably North Carolina would be the next one. But Georgia Tech is nowhere. I wouldn't think they're anywhere on the list of schools the SEC would want to be a member.
Do you foresee something like that happening, though, where the SEC adds in more schools and then the Pac-10 and the Big Ten, they all got to get together and just move into one big...
If you had asked me that 6 months ago, I would have said no, but you're asking me that today on January 19th. I think it's wide open right now. I think there's so much dysfunctionality going on in the ACC and other leagues that I think the exodus is not done yet. Thank you for the call. Do appreciate it. And let's talk to Stacy in Athens. So, hello, Stacy.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Well, thank you.
Hey, Paul, I don't know if you remember, but I spoke with you back during the summertime, and I told you I'm a longtime Georgia Bulldog fan. And I made it very clear to you that the road to the national championship will have to go through Tuscaloosa. And I did also say that, you know, Florida was our nemesis, but, of course, Alabama stopped us from getting there. So I'm very happy that we was able to achieve that goal. But my thing is one quick question to you, Paul.
Yeah.
And I do agree with you. I think it's time for Stetson to move on. And I like what you said the other day. If Stetson just sit back and he can just cash in all the checks, he don't have to play not one down in the NFL.
Stacy, there's only one way Stetson Bennett can cost himself his legacy, and that's to stick around.
Oh, I agree. It's a feel-good story, Paul. Just think about it. A walk-on that lead a program that's been in the wilderness for 41 years to a national championship.
It is the quintessential Disney movie, and if Stetson doesn't want to write it, I'll write it for him.
and one quick thing, too, Paul, I'm going to let you go. I think a lot of people are upset with Coach Saban because they don't agree with it, and that's my take on that.
Stacy, now you have no right telling the truth on this show. Come on.
Well, I love you, Paul, man. I appreciate everything, man. And go, dog.
Yeah, and I mean, by the way, it's called the John Lewis Voting Rights Act, and that's exactly right. It is about disagreement, and I'm not involved in the conversation, but I think there, this happened last summer, when Saban marched with the Black Lives Matter, a lot of criticism came. In fact, his daughter reacted to the criticism. I think it was on Facebook or Twitter. I can't remember where it was. And she ultimately took them down. But that stung. We had calls here, Alabama fans, saying, I'll never support that program again. And a lot of us shrugged our shoulders like, so what? But anyway, we are heading to a break. We'll talk to the great Darius Rucker in a few minutes. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And we welcome you back. Great to have all of you here. And let's get back to the calls. And Iman is up next. Hey, Iman.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon.
It seems to me that the whole voting thing,
that everybody's got the right to vote already. Is that a fair statement?
I'm sorry, I mean, who has the right to vote already?
Everybody that's available, eligible age, go down, sign up, and vote.
Right. Well, that's universal, but every state is a little bit different. I don't know what the, but yeah, essentially you are correct, yes.
Okay. Yesterday I was listening to Joe from Red Bay, and I've talked to Joe from Red Bay. Joe from Red Bay is just a damn likable guy.
He is.
And I was listening to him, and, you know, not one thing he said altered any opinion I had whatsoever of him, and I want him to know that. I think the same of him today as I did when the first time I talked to him. Just a very enjoyable, practical kind of guy.
Yeah, I thought he was, for those who missed the Joe from Red Bay call, he followed legend, who talked about his prison experiences, and then Joe shared some of his own prison experiences, which I was unaware of, but equally compelling.
Yeah, but then I listened back to the legend call.
Right.
And I'm just going to say this.
Okay.
I'm going to consider the source on that particular call. I don't buy any of it. To others, to each his own. But I don't buy one.
So you don't buy the legend who was stabbed in prison and saved by a black man changed his view of race based on that?
No, I don't buy any of the entire story. The whole thing from beginning to end.
I'm sorry, but why would someone make up a story being in prison for murder, which he said, getting stabbed with a screwdriver and being saved by this man? Why would you make that up?
Because he's said so many other things. And so many of the other things don't tend to coincide with a lot of the things he said yesterday.
Or did you just not like the fact that legend told a very moving story about how his views of the world were altered by a benevolent act of someone who had nothing to gain by helping him?
Well, I think it's a lot of grandstanding because you do have the call from Huntsville. And I think he and Jim have this struggle to be number one. And I don't know where the competition from all this comes. But I have heard Legend speak before. You've heard him speak before on this program. You've heard him give those kind of speeches like he did yesterday. We've also heard him give the speeches where he made a complete ass out of himself, talking about what fools other people were for, you know, giving him money and that kind of thing. And I think what it is, he's just got his back up against the wall, and now he needs to, he's trying to dig out, and we've heard he will go by any means necessary. And I think that he will look you in the eyes and lie to you, because I've seen him do it, I've heard him do it, and I just don't buy any of it. Now, it's a great story, and I'm sure there's bits and pieces of it that might almost be something like that, but the call as a whole,
I mean, I mean, would you admit you just didn't like the fact that Legend told a story that really was very moving?
It was moving, all right. It's called a bow. I mean, I just didn't find anything.
I found it very moving and compelling, and I was talking with our group today about how I think it was a very important call. But again, I'm just an innocent bystander here. I don't have the view of the show that you do. We will take a break. Darius Rucker joining us shortly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back, and Cindy is up next in Alabama. Hello, Cindy. Good afternoon to you.
Hey, Paul. How are you today? I know everybody asks you that.
Well,
I'm an Auburn fan, but today I am a Nick Saban fan. I agree with him completely, and he had the guts to do that. So enjoy your show. Bye.
Thank you. That was to the point. Thank you very much. Dave is in Missouri. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I trust you're doing fine.
I am.
I'm here to talk about football. And basically our two favorite teams down in Missouri. You don't get any calls from Missouri, but one is the Razorbacks, and two is our beloved Chiefs. And I wanted your opinion. It's our opinion that Arkansas is going to go all the way this year, by the way they played with Sam Pittman last year. What do you think about that?
Well, I think Arkansas is going to be a contender. I would agree. I'm not quite ready to make that call yet. I'd like to get to spring ball, and but I think Arkansas has the potential to be a top 10, top 15 team.
Well, good. I'm glad you feel that way. We sure do here in the Presley household. And it just reminds me of the days where Bielema was the coach, you know, where a coach that would get in your face, you know, like Sam Pittman does.
Well, we had him on the other day, and I know I sound like a broken record with Coach Pittman, but he is such an inspirational figure to be at the age of 60 and really just starting his career. And I think, we asked him about that, and he's made such an impact. And I hoped he would be successful when he was hired, but there was no guarantee. But there is a guarantee now. He has what it takes.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying that. And I do value your opinion on that. And our Chiefs, I think they're going to go all the way this year. We'll probably have to play that Brady bunch at one time, but I think this is the year.
Really,
what do you
great
think
franchise
about the Chiefs
and,
this year?
I think I do not agree with you. I think the Bills look a little more formidable, but that's I'm not really an expert. Well, I'm not an expert at anything other than pushing buttons here. Let's talk to Joseph next in Tupelo. Hello, Joseph.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Good afternoon. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Glad you're doing well. I'll just got a couple points, if you don't mind me discussing with you.
Sure.
And one of them has to do with this Nick Saban and Mr. West situation. And it saddens me that some people like themselves, as small as they are, that they know that before you go into a store to buy a pack of cigarettes or even to walk into the Capitol or anywhere, you have to show your ID, go on the airplane. But then they're saying, well, I'm sorry, you can go ahead and vote anyway, including the 2 million plus illegal aliens that's crossed the border. And the New York City mayor now is saying he's trying to pass it, that 800 plus thousand illegal aliens there that don't even have an ID, don't even have a driver's license. They're not citizens. They have the right to vote. That's not what this country was founded on. And what I think the problem is, I think my Nick Saban is saying this, and he put that out there, is because recruiting. I think he did that.
But Joseph, let me ask you this. Hold just 1 second, and we can, you know, everybody can debate the Voting Rights Act and the bill.
Yes, sir.
But I am curious, for a guy who has been in the top three in recruiting for 10 years, how Nick Saban has benefited by doing this. I mean, do you think recruits right now at the age of 16, 17, or 18 are lasered in on what is going on in Congress?
No, sir. I do not think that at all. But what I do think is, it's what he thinks. And okay. He thinks because what their parents don't even think, and that's not even the fact. They're just saying that just because of what these news outlets like Maxine Waters coming out there saying that Sinema and Manchin, they hate black people, you know, which is a lie. You know, saying those kind of things is...
But Joseph,
they're gonna hear that.
I would say there is a difference in marching with his players to in the summer of 20, when the country was literally coming undone.
It was.
Versus offering a letter to Joe Manchin, which is not going to matter one iota. Joe Manchin will do what he wants to do. And Nick Saban is not going to influence him. And I mean, I'm not arguing with you about what you said. I'm just wondering... Maybe I'm naive, but I don't think Nick Saban is gaining from this at all. I don't think his players are going, wow, he really, I mean, you know, I know that there was a show on Fox News last night that attacked him and others have come after him. I don't think this is a win-win. In fact, I think Saban puts himself in a precarious position by doing this.
I think it's awful.
But
I think it's awful.
I don't understand it.
Why would he put himself in that situation?
Well, I just don't know. I don't know why he did it, but you know, obviously he has a reason. I don't think he can very well say I didn't expect it to get out. Of course he did. Joe Manchin said yesterday that the letter did not even reveal all of what Nick Saban wanted to say. But it. Sure. Thanks for the call. I never really believed that we would be. Sitting here having this conversation, but we are. I should never be surprised by the things we talk about here. Kathy is in Georgia. Hey, Kathy, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. I'm calling in reference to that, too. I believe Coach Saban is a well-planned man, and I do believe that it does have to do with recruiting, because if you're going to come recruit my child, I want to know what your beliefs are, how you going to be the parent to my child in those years that he's with you. And I think that he sees that the recruiting is going toward Texas A&M and Georgia, and he's just doing a plan ahead, which he has a right to believe any way he wants to. And I don't blame him. And as far as legend story, I believe that could happen because I worked in the Department of Corrections for 20 years. And I know that there were several prisoners or inmates that would have saved my life. And I know there were several inmates and officers that would probably would have loved to kill me. But, you know, everybody has a right to their own opinion. And I believe Nick Saban has a right to that. And I believe Legend has a right to say and believe what he said happened to him. And you have a good day. And I did have a good birthday after I talked to you. I got my national championship cap and hat. So you have a good afternoon.
Kathy, thank you very, very much. We appreciate it. We'll talk to Darius Rucker in a couple of minutes. Larry is in Kentucky, and you are on the air. Hey, Larry.
Yes. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you taking my call. I just want to give some kudos to Nick Saban. I think a whole lot of time as parents and fans, we lose perspective. Coaches are just not coaching kids between the lines. They're coaching them in life, coach life for the rest of their life. And coaches want to show that they are concerned about the whole kid. And Coach Saban is smart enough to know that the things that these players he's coaching have experienced some very difficult times in their life and in this country. So he's just showing support. And I think that I think we all need to grow up and learn and see things from different perspective. And it's not political. It's just being human. It's just showing some humanity and some respect for the kids that he is coaching and ask them to give all their all, and he's giving back to them. That's a part of their life also. So thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you very much, Larry. I appreciate you giving us your thoughts there. Mike is in South Carolina. Hello, Mike.
How you doing, Paul?
Very well.
I've been an Alabama fan. I'm 76 years old, ever since I was a kid. But I think Kirk Saban himself said he didn't get into politics. And I doubt very seriously that he read the bill. Number one, I don't think that he disagrees that everybody needs an ID to vote and that you got to have a signature for it.
Well, Mike, I don't know. I have no earthly idea what Nick Saban knows or doesn't know about this bill in Congress. But it
I'm sure it's a lengthy bill.
Yeah,
and
most
I don't
of them
think
are.
He got time. I don't think he got time to read the bill and coach football. I mean, he got. To
you know, Mike,
I don't
think half the people that in Congress have read what they vote on. Do you?
No, I don't. But I do know I've seen reports where 80% of the country says that you need an ID. You know, if you're going to vote, if you haven't got an ID, that you can't. You can't go buy a liquor and stuff.
No, you're right. You need an ID to buy a star. No, you don't. I just almost spoke out of turn.
And they got to produce an ID if they don't look old enough. If there's a question, they don't like to question, where's the ID?
Well, Michael, let me assure you, I don't know all the voting laws in Georgia and everywhere else, or Alabama. I'm just a talk show host. Thank you very, very much. Great to hear from you. Cornell is in Georgia. Hello, Cornell.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
I wanted to call about the Nick Saban thing that's going on. The letter was supposed to be a private letter, could you imagine, is what the talk is going around here. And I just don't like the fact that people are kind of dogging Nick Saban because of doing the right thing. It just makes no sense to me why people would want a dog a bear for you know, speaking up against voter rights, because here in Georgia they're trying to suppress votes. So,
hey, Cornell, I should know this because I follow the news, but I've heard so many different opinions, and I really don't know what's right or wrong. How are they in Georgia specifically? Because I think this is where it all emanates. How are they trying to suppress the vote?
Well, in Fulton County is one of the big
right.
counties here in Georgia. And that's one of the counties that helped turn Georgia blue. They're trying to remap that county so that it would benefit the Republicans. It's a big thing here. It's been going on for months, ever since
right.
the election where Trump lost. They've been trying to remap places where it would be more Republican. And that's what we're fighting for here now. It's so they can't do that. So, I mean, a lot of these people still think that the election was stolen. So, you know, I applaud Nick Saban. I'm an Alabama fan. I've been staying here in Georgia about 10 years, but I love the fact that he did it. And, it's just the right thing, people. Just get over it.
Thank you very much for the call, Cornell. We are heading to a break, and feel like... I don't know. Sometimes I'm just never surprised by the directions we go. But I appreciate all of you being a part of the program. We still have plenty of time for you to get in at 855-242-7285. And Darius Rucker will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.